Welcome to Podcast 83, a regular look at the news, stories, and trends related to Michigan's 83 counties, from Keweenaw to Monroe, Chippewa to Berrien. Brought to you by the Michigan Association of Counties. Here's your host, MAC Executive Director Stephen Curry.
Good day and welcome to Podcast 83, the podcast of the Michigan Association of Counties. I'm Derek Milo, MAC Communications Director, sitting in for Executive Director Steve Curry. And today we'll have a couple of guests on the show. And our first one is Deborah Horner of Close Up at the University of Michigan. And I'm going to let Deborah explain what Close Up is.
Hi, thanks for having me here today to talk to you. So yes, I am from Close Up. Close Up is the Center for Local, State, and Urban Policy at the Ford School down in Ann Arbor. We've been around since about 2001, and we do a lot of things at the Close Up Research Center. Our primary mission is to conduct and support applied academic research that informs local, state, and urban policy issues, both in Michigan and beyond. But our main focus right now is on Michigan. And then we're also a resource for information for people who are listening to this podcast. So policymakers, practitioners, academics, students, the media, the public, anyone who's interested in state and local issues. So then we also do a bunch of stuff with student learning on U of M's campus. So I actually teach a class in the Ford School on Michigan politics, hoping to get Michigan students and students from other places as well interested in what's going on at the state and local level here in the state.
Great.
And so one of the flagship efforts, though, is this research program that I manage, which is called the Michigan Public Policy Survey. So the MPPS, the Michigan Public Policy Survey, is a census survey of all of the local governments in Michigan. So all 1,856 counties, cities, villages, and townships across the state. We've been doing it for 10 years now, if you can believe it. I can't believe we're 10 years in. We came to MAC and to MML and to MTA before we ever started the survey program and said, hey, would this be of interest to you guys? And everyone said, yes, please, this is great. And now we're 10 years in, going strong. And what we survey is the top elected and top appointed official in all of the jurisdictions in the state. So for cities, it'd be mayors and city managers. For counties, it's the board chair and the superintendent or executive in the county. And the survey itself is mostly administered online. So we send the board chair or the county administrator a link and an email. They click on the link and they fill out the survey online. However, there are lots of places across the state who, for whatever reason, either internet connectivity or the preference of the local official, but sometimes they do it on a hard copy and send it back. And so we never leave anybody out who doesn't want to do it online.
We haven't reached the paperless society just yet.
No, because I think a lot of people get left out who don't appreciate the technology. And so we don't want to do that. We want to make sure they get
right. Deborah, before we get into the results of your most recent survey, kind of talk a little bit about response rates you do get from your county board chairs and your county administrators, because obviously we're only as good as our data, and response rate is very important in surveys to have robust data.
Right. So you'll see in survey research all the time people making claims about what a group of people think, but they've only surveyed 20 or 30% of them, and then they're extrapolating kind of the answers to all the rest of the population. We are really fortunate in regularly getting 70 to 75% of respondents statewide. And then among counties, we typically get 80 to 85% of counties. So for example, this past spring, we got 71 out of the 83 counties participating in the survey.
Great.
And that helps us a lot because we don't have to just think, oh, Kent County, Oakland County say this. So this is what everyone else thinks. We actually get Roscommon and Iosco and Barrie and Bay and everybody, you know, people in the UP, people in the west and east side of the state. So we're very fortunate to have a really robust response rate. I hope that means those of you listening think that it's a worthy survey, and so it's worth your time to do. But it does allow us to say a lot about all of the jurisdictions. So, for example, cities usually do it at about an 80% response rate. Villages usually do it about a 74% response rate. So,
right.
So we get a lot of participation.
So counties are at the top of the heap in response rate.
Counties are the top of the heap. You guys are on top of it, for
that's,
sure.
That's good to hear. So let's talk a little bit about your most recent survey results that are on your website, focuses on local government official views on PrEP for the next recession.
Right. So actually, every spring, we ask a big battery of questions about everyone's fiscal health. So we'll ask about counties, how what you're spending on, what is going on with your employees, hiring, firing, and remuneration. We ask about infrastructure and general government operations spending. We ask about revenue, all kinds of from the state, things like that. So we have a big battery. And this past spring, we actually wanted to find out what people thought about looking ahead and how prepared they are for the next recession. We've had a great past decade where we've had, since the Great Recession, a lot of growth and improvement in fiscal health. But there are still a lot of counties out there who tell us that they have not recovered. So, for example, we did ask a question that's not in this current report, but it's going to be on a report coming up soon. And we said, so looking ahead or thinking right now, would you rate your jurisdiction, your county's fiscal health today compared to where it was before, in before the Great Recession in 2007? So thinking today compared to that. And among counties, you know, a majority, 54% said we're better. We're doing better, either significantly or somewhat better. But there's almost 30% of counties that said we are significantly or somewhat worse off than still today than we were before the Great Recession. So there's a big lag in recovery, even though we've had good economic times in the state.
Yeah. And of course, as our audience knows, that has to do with the effects of Proposal A, Headley Amendment, the limitations that we see on value of property and property taxes generated from them. But yes, as I said, our audience knows that story all too well.
Exactly. So we did then ask a bunch of other questions about how prepared people are for the next recession and kind of what they think is coming down the pike sooner or later. And one of the questions we asked is how concerned they are about the effects of the next recession, whenever it happens, on county services and then kind of county's general operations spending. So when we asked everybody in the state, we asked all of the different kinds of local leaders, more than half, 57%, said we are very concerned about the potential impacts of the next recession on our ability to deliver public services. But among counties, that's actually even larger. So I think when we talk about county services, 24% of counties said they're very concerned about their ability to deliver services when the next recession hits. And then another 57% said they're somewhat concerned. So it was significantly higher. There's actually only about less than 15% who said they're not really concerned about that heading. So much higher than other jurisdiction types. And then also concerned about county operations. Are you going to be able to continue to provide, you know, kind of run your county when the next recession hits? And 83% of counties said they're either very or somewhat concerned that they're not going to be able to kind of maintain their operations going into the next recession.
And so the next part of the survey was, after identifying concern, is what is your county doing? What is your local government doing to prep for recession?
Right. So, you know, kind of statewide, again, looking statewide, about a quarter, about 26% of local officials said that their governments are taking specific action to prepare for the next recession, kind of getting themselves ready. And among counties, that is only about 44%. Who are saying that they are taking specific actions to do something. Okay. So that's pretty good. However, I think there's some differences between larger and smaller counties, where the larger counties are the ones who are really doing that preparation, looking ahead and getting ready, whereas the smaller counties are lagging behind that a little bit.
All right. Did the survey go into asking officials why they had begun prep or why they had not begun prep?
Well, we didn't ask specifically that, but we did ask kind of, do you think the next recession is coming? And I think that would be related to whether they are feeling the urgency to prep. And a lot of places said that, you know, it's not coming this year and it might not be coming next year. I think among counties, only about 2% of counties, so basically one respondent or two respondents said it's going to be this year.
Right.
And only another, you know, 30% said that it's going to be within the next 2 years. And most people think either they don't know or they think it's more than 2 years away.
Right.
And so I think that's affecting people's incentives to take a lot of action in terms of debt or infrastructure spending or whatever it is they need to be doing to prepare, because they think we're still going to have some good economic times over the next couple of years.
Great. So this entire survey is on your website, and the URL for that is?
Close Up. So CLOSUP. So no E in there. It's CLOSUP.UMICH.edu.
Okay.
And you can find all of our survey reports. You can find all of our questionnaires, and you can find all of the data on really easy to use tables that are specifically broken out by jurisdiction type. So you can just look at counties and what counties are saying to all of the different questions that we ask on the survey.
Okay, great. Deborah Horner of Close Up, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're listening to Podcast 83 with news, features, and services related to Michigan's 83 counties. Learn more about everything county governments do at micountymatters.org.
Welcome back to Podcast 83. This is Derek Milo, MAC Communications Director. We have a special guest with us today. Pam Yeager is Manager of Social Mission for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, and she's going to speak with us today about Blue Cross's work in addressing the opioid crisis in Michigan.
Great. Thank you, Derek. I'm happy to be here today. My name is Pam Yeager. I'm the Manager of Social Mission at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. And in that role, we oversee a lot of efforts to improve access to care, improve quality of care, and improve health status of Michigan residents. And as part of that, we've been spending some time on the opioid epidemic and ways that we can contribute in a meaningful way to addressing the epidemic. So I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you about what we're doing.
Great. Thanks, Pam. Let's open up. Back in June, in the JAMA Network publication, there was a report that analyzed opioid deaths against an area's capacity to deliver meds for opioid disorder. And it listed about 20 counties in Michigan that had the attributes of a high death rate due to opioids and a low provider rate for the meds to address the issue. What can the opioid partnership that Blue Cross is working in do to address this? And could you talk a little bit generally about the opioid partnership?
Yes, thank you for asking that. The Michigan Opioid Partnership is really a private public collaborative that has been established to address the opioid epidemic. And we're doing that in partnership with the state of Michigan, with Governor Whitmer at the Department of Health and Human Services, as well as the Michigan Health Endowment Fund, the Community Foundation for Southeast Michigan, the Ethel and James Flynn Foundation, the Superior Health Foundation, and the Jewish Fund. And we're working together to pool our resources, or maximize, frankly, our resources in a way that we can have a meaningful impact. And so right now, what we announced earlier this year that Governor Whitmer announced was a $5 million initiative to support hospitals and jails as points of entry for patients who have substance use disorder, particularly opioid addiction, and using that as a way to administer medication-assisted treatment as an effective tool to combat their addiction. And so we announced some grants earlier this year to hospitals. We're going to be announcing additional hospitals that are participating in the program, as well as a partnership with Wayne State University to address some of the issues that are going on in jails and coordinate some efforts there. And so we will be announcing more jails that will be participating in this program. And that's one way that the partnership is working to address the opioid epidemic. But there will be others. I'm sure that there are other initiatives that we can consider that will be effective in communities across the state. We at Blue Cross are also doing additional efforts above what we're committed to through the Michigan Opioid Partnership. We've also announced a grant opportunity for perinatal collaboratives across the state to address perinatal initiatives and pregnant moms and children. And so that's another area that we think is really important to be able to combat the epidemic and addressing populations with this need.
Great. So you did mention partnering with jails, which of course are run by counties here in Michigan. If one of our listeners, one of our county commissioners, county administrators saying, hey, I haven't heard much about this, but I'm interested in learning more and how we can participate, what should they be doing right now as far as trying to engage with the partnership and the grant program?
I think a critical thing is making us aware that there is an interest. We have been working with Wayne State University on this effort, and they've identified for us some of the communities that are ready to do some of the counties that are ready to implement a program. But we've also been reaching out to counties across the state that have an interest in addressing implementing medication-assisted treatment in the jails. So contacting us would be a wonderful first step. And one of the ways that you can learn more information about the program is by visiting our website that we have made information available. It's mybluesperspective.com/opioids101. And so that would be one way to contact us and let us know that there is an interest in at least even learning more about what we're doing. We'd be happy to share the information. We'd be happy to have conversations with counties across the state about what their needs might be and what their interests are.
Great. So the partnership is described as a 16-month effort. Where are you in that timeline right now?
We're in the very first stages of that. We're just, in fact, we are just about to make some grants to two communities in the state, which I'd be happy to share with you after we've made a formal announcement about that. So we're in the very early stages. So we're working to identify other counties that have an interest. We are aware of some that do have an interest, and we're communicating with them. So this is a great time to be communicating with us about what some needs are in the counties across the state to address this issue.
Great. So tell me a little bit about how Blue Cross is addressing kind of the cultural issue in the sense of drug abuse as a criminal offense versus drug abuse as a medical condition and treating it as a medical condition.
I think that's a critical point, Derek, is that we are really looking at substance use disorder as more of a disease and not just a condition that someone has. And so that's an important point, I think, as you think about ways or how you're approaching the epidemic. And we're doing that at Blue Cross. We've made this a priority, frankly, at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan to focus on the opioid epidemic specifically. And we're doing that through a number of ways. We've sort of put together a four-pronged approach focusing on prevention, treatment, fraud, waste, and abuse, and advocacy and awareness. And we're doing multiple tasks throughout each of those prongs to have an impact that will be meaningful across the state. And so I think one of the critical things that we're talking about today is partnerships and how we can't do it alone at Blue Cross. The state of Michigan can't do it alone. And so we're really working hard to collaborate with others and have the force of multiple organizations working together and not just doing it on our own.
And of course, this is a challenge for everyone across the state of Michigan, really across the country. But have you seen anything in the data where you're seeing that it is a particularly acute problem in Michigan?
Yes, I think that the statistics that we see on a regular basis are what causes us the most alarm. There are still over 2,000 deaths related to opioids every year here in Michigan. We don't see that number going down significantly. I think it's 130 people die of opioid addiction every day across the country. That's not changing significantly to give us enough comfort to say we don't need to keep taking action on it. So I think that the fact that there are so many people dying from this disease and so many people's families who are impacted by it and businesses across the state, communities across the state, that impact is what drives us to keep taking action.
Great. Pam, is there anything I've forgotten to ask you?
I would like to at least just stay again. Please, if you're interested in getting more information about what you can do as an individual or as a community in a county across the state, please visit mybluesperspective.org/opioids101. We have a lot of information on there that I think is really helpful from a business standpoint, from an employer standpoint, from a family perspective, as well as from a community. And so mybluesperspective, that's mybluesperspective.com/opioids101.
Wonderful. Pam Yeager, Manager of Social Mission for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Thank you for joining us
today. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Podcast 83 with news, features, and services related to Michigan's 83 counties. Learn more about everything county governments do at micountymatters.org.
Okay, thank you for joining us on the latest episode of Podcast 83. Be sure to tune in to us either at the micounties.org website, or you can find us on SoundCloud and just search for Michigan Association of Counties or Podcast 83, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Podcast 83, the go-to source for all information about Michigan's 83 counties.